Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer your questions, queries you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Well, today in our studio, we have with us a guest speaker, Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, Professor, we have a very interesting question, wherein we kind of touched it in the previous episodes, but I would also want you to give more details on this. This is daughter asking her father, how can we touch God or how can we see God? So what is the answer if you were the father?
Of course, it depends on the age of the child. If he's in the second seven-year stage or the third seven-year stage, it depends upon their mental abilities to understand things. Of course.
Now your answer should be based on the age of a child.
Of course, it should be according to his understanding, his comprehension or her comprehension. I mean, even today, very elderly people, it's difficult for them to understand things which are not, you can't show them in a tangible form, examples which are not physical examples. People tend to, run away from them. Talking about things in a very general and abstract manner is difficult. Being subjective about things, people need objective answers. Things which can be, represented in shapes and figures and whatever. So what to say about children? So we need to be talking to them in a way that they can understand. Of course, if their mental capabilities, logical, pure reasoning capabilities have been inculcated in them, and that's good. And especially when we talk about the three stages that we have to take our children through. So when 21 years of age has been completed, the three stages have been completed, then we expect the child to be complete, and then as the Holy Prophet has said that after that, there's no responsibility upon you.
All right.
But if that's during those 21 years a child asks you, then you need to be, understanding. If he's a child who can understand examples, which are physical examples, I said the other day also that you show a physical example. For example, you say...
You're able to think, but show me where is thinking and intellect.
Exactly.
Can you show us the pain?
Of course. You feel pain, hurt by something. You have a physical pain, but where's the pain? Can you show me the pain? You can't show... No one can show you his or her pain.
What a pain looks like.
Yes. So it doesn't have any color. So things... We can make them realize that things... even if they're physical, are not. You cannot necessarily see them. And for us to be able to understand, God is not even physical.
Yeah,
He's some beyond the physical world. He's beyond this space-time dimension. He's even beyond that. But He exists. It's not that He's something which we dream of. No,
yeah.
He's existent. Then you need to give more subtle types of answers, which are very much grounded in philosophical issues. So have we been able to develop that philosophical aptitude, it's or pure reasoning, as we talk about in mathematics, or pure physics, or whatever. So those are things which can be left to children who can understand those things. So for those who are general public, laymen, children, we need to give examples in physical ways. Or example, when you talk about, for example, you say, look, you see smoke rising behind that wall. There must be a reason for that.
Yeah.
So what's the reason for that smoke? You say because there's fire beyond
there it. There may be fire. They may actually reach to that conclusion themselves.
So you need to say the whole of the universe, you see it above you, in you, everywhere. So where did it come from? It doesn't come on. You say, the child would say, oh, the
since
big...
Since there's a creation, there's a creator behind.
Of course. And there's a design to it. Important is the design. You say it's so intricate. So so everything is in its proper place. How did it happen?
Yeah.
How did it take place, all of it?
Exactly. We'll discuss more, Professor, with you after a short break, dear listener. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Nakavi, and Professor, you're helping us to inculcate the knowledge of God in children in different stages. You said it depends on the age of a child who asks you a question, where is God, how does he look like, or how can I feel God? And you said it all depends on age, which child is asking you this question. And that way you have to answer. Now you're helping us to understand with more examples.
Yes, so we need to talk about, as we said, there's a simple way to understand God. And for every person that is possible, that's the simple question based on the design of the universe. Everything which has been designed it has to have a designer, it has to have a creator. So we see the whole universe as a design in a very, it's very, very complicated, but everything is in its proper place. So with this
order.
Complicated
there order, exists an order
there's
sequence.
An order in it. So where did this order come from? You see, in your life, if you don't keep order in your house, things will get, disrupted, disordered. So there has to be someone to maintain that order. So you start off with simple things. But for general people, again, the important thing is asking them to look into their very nature, their fitra, and go back to that fitra which is within them. And the love they have for goodness, the love they have for things which are perfect, the love they have for the absolute in their minds, in their hearts, deep down in their hearts, they're feeling out for something which is perfect, which is goodness, which is absolute, this is beautiful. And we are actually looking for something godly in us. So if a child is made to realize that that feeling of inner love, that feeling for goodness, that feeling for things which are good, that is actually showing us the path towards something which is absolute, and that can only be one thing which is absolute. You can't have infinity, more than one infinite thing, and that is God. So we can start off with very simple issues, and we can build up our arguments and understanding of God ourselves, and then inculcate that in our children.
Yeah. Now, there are children who are in a very delicate ages, and now they want answers, they want logics, and some of them want philosophical answers. Like you said that God does exist, it's not something we dream of. His existence is... something that is actually we exist because he exists. So how can we make this understand to our children with some more examples, like some philosophical examples?
So we can start off with the philosophical understanding of the cause and effect relationship which we have. For example, when scientists are looking for, they look at a phenomena, as Newton would saw the apple falling.
Yeah.
Then he came up with a hypothesis, and he said, look, this apple falling down it must have a cause. Why did it fall? Did not go up? Why did it come down? So there should be a force which is attracting it down, downwards.
Yeah.
So he felt that there has to be a reason for it. Why did he think there has to be a reason? Because deep in his mind, there is a relationship between everything which happens and with its cause. Every effect has a cause.
All right. So cause and effect could be used as examples. They could be used cause effect examples.
We need to make a person. We need to understand that there's a relationship between effects and their causes.
Yeah, I will ask you for more examples after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful."
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. We have Professor Salman Naqvi with us, and you are saying making an understanding about God in our children, especially those who are teens in a very delicate age, and they need logical and philosophical answers. You said we can prove the existence of God by giving them cause-effect relation examples. So you were helping us with examples.
So I began with the scientific knowledge that we have, the scientific knowledge that has developed over the ages, over the centuries, is based upon this issue that every phenomena which happens, there has to be a cause behind it.
Yeah.
Now we have to open this up, because the very moment you say that everything has a cause, then the question comes to mind, what is the cause of Allah then? Who caused God?
Yeah.
So then you have to come up with the concept that there are causes, there are effects, and there are causes, and there are causes which can be causes and have the effects, and they can be effects of other causes. But you have to come to a cause. You have to come to a cause which has its effect in the form of the universe, but is not caused by anything. Then they say, how can that happen? That you have a cause and it doesn't have a cause itself. It is the cause of all things. Then you say, look, if you don't accept the existence of such a cause, then you would have to accept a regression of causes, and that would go up to eternity. And then the result would be nothing would start happening. Like the example of a race, for example, 10 people line up in a race. Now everyone says, I'll start running when you start. Everyone says, I will start running when you start. So everyone will become dependent on the other.
Each other.
The race will not start at all.
So
you need a starting point. So you have to have a cause which does not have a cause in itself. So
you're reminding me of Irani Ta'aruf, and they say you enter first, you enter
exactly.
First. Yeah. So you're saying something has to happen,
there has to be a cause, and there has to be a cause for all the causes which does not have a cause in itself. For example, when you say, oh, the salt, why is the food that we're eating is salty? Because there's salt in it.
Yeah.
But when you say, why is salt salty?
Yeah.
Because salt is salt, it's supposed to be salty because it's very essence.
It is supposed to be, yeah.
So we say there's a cause which is existent without having any cause. Then you say because the first cause is something which is existent infinitely and without any cause. It can exist on its own independently, and that's God. So we can build up philosophical issues based on our understanding of things around us, and then change them into issues which are of a speculative or a theoretical nature, and we start relying upon pure reasoning. So that faculty of pure reasoning has to be developed. So that is the challenge which we have today, especially with our children.
Yeah.
So we need to be relatively equipped ourselves, or we should be able to rely upon our mentors or teachers who can help our children to understand these things.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us and helping us with the understanding of very minute and very delicate issues regarding God. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Do you know what? a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.